I come from a transportation background, providing services in Massachusetts for passengers. And so I built up a company that I felt was easy to take those skills and parlay it into this new industry that's very exciting, you know, just as a businessman and an entrepreneur. That's why we're here, radio entrepreneurs, certainly. You know, it's just such an obvious opportunity to get into this cannabis space by providing this necessary logistics and supply chain service that the commission was wise enough to include as a license type. And so, you know, we're very excited to use our experiences in Massachusetts. Catherine is an attorney. Again, I have a passenger ground transportation experience, and just parlaying that into the entire state having a really well-functioning transportation, logistics, and fulfillment service for the cannabis industry.
So how did the conversation go between the two of you? Well, who came up with, like, hey, we're going to get into the cannabis business?
So Rafael, he's been a lifelong entrepreneur, I can say, since he was very small. And he had this idea the summer of 2018. And I was in between things. So I thought, yeah, you know, it sounds interesting. I'll study it. I'll help you. We'll, get through the process, the licensing. I had worked for about 2 years in a medical marijuana dispensary in the state. It sort of had burned out on the type of law I was doing, which was divorces. And so I was divorced from divorce law, and it was just like timing. I had the time to really put my heart and soul into this, and we just started doing it. And here we are now. We have our provisional, and we're getting ready to do our build out and get everything ready to be operational.
So tell us a little bit about the scope of the business. What are the aspects? What type of services will you be providing? You know, transportation and logistics is a very broad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And certainly, you know, the most obvious one that people think of is sort of like a FedEx and a courier for cannabis within the state. So we will be providing transportation services from licensed facilities to other licensed facilities. And that's the sort of the simplest and most obvious thing that we'll do. But we also, of course, view ourselves as a full service logistics and fulfillment company. And so we want to get into all the ancillary areas that have to deal with transportation. Certainly there's the burden of getting all the products to the testing labs. There's other opportunities related to, you know, waste disposal and things like that. But we actually view our big opportunity, and what we're really excited about, is developing a portfolio of brands under a craft cannabis distribution network and utilizing the transportation licensure to actually become a full service distributor within the state, providing retailers with your classic supplier distributor model, where they can choose from a variety of products throughout, you know, from all different types throughout the market, from different brands and such, and buy those from us with terms and sort of a traditional working relationship that works for retailers.
So really become a distributor and fulfillment house.
That's it, exactly. And then, of course, on the production side, you know, providing that stability for producers, both growers and producers of products, to focus on what they're doing best. You know, transportation and distribution is a huge job unto itself and critical to success. So it's been interesting as we approach people because, you know, now there is a licensed provider for these services. Just 6 months ago, as many people have been building out their business plans, they didn't really know that we would exist. And they certainly didn't view our license type as being able to provide distribution for them. And so what we're doing out in the field now is, of course, letting people know that we exist, selling the very key transportation services that we have and what we view as sort of our backbone to getting started in the industry. But of course, expanding into that distribution area rapidly and, you know, representing brands on the small to mid-size. We're really passionate about the local Massachusetts players. We're local from Massachusetts. We all know that this industry has a lot of, you know, very big capital behind it from out of state and a lot of big interests. And we're not opposed to working with those interests. It's a whole ecosystem. You want to work with everybody, but we view our niche as really representing those small to mid-sized producers in this craft distribution catalog.
Getting into the transportation portion of this business, meaning if the cultivator or the retailer is going to do it on their own, is expensive.
Oh, absolutely.
Transportation, you know, what you need to do.
Right, absolutely. So the transportation regulations, of course, are very strict within the industry. So the biggest reason that you probably want to outsource it is just the cost and staffing, right? You have to have two people that are going to be operating your vehicles at all time. And if you want any level of redundancy and sort of security that your product is always going to get there, you're going to need a fleet. You don't want to just have one van that you rely on and it could break down, it could get in an accident, somebody could call in sick. We are there in that position to provide that backbone of redundancy, you know, and that scaled model where you're going to have multiple vehicles available to your company at any given time, along with that backbone of drivers. So that's really the key. You don't want to be pulling your growers or your producers out of their jobs to provide transportation. You don't want your CEO of your company to have to jump in and fulfill an order at the last minute, which we see happening. You know, we view ourselves as just, again, letting people focus on what they're best
setting
at.
Setting up these vehicles isn't cheap.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Why don't you explain how the vehicle has to be?
Sure. So at first, actually, it was viewed as like armored vehicles, right? And actually, as we've looked at it more, you know, you don't need fully armored vehicles to get into the space. In fact, you end up putting yourself at a competitive disadvantage potentially if you do so, because you've invested so much in this one vehicle. But you certainly can use a lot of technology that's available widely today, specifically, you know, 360 video monitoring recorded at all times at every angle of the vehicle, along with the obvious GPS and a secondary redundant GPS tracking system.
Right, and also like lock boxes, separate vaulting within the vehicle for each product. If we're what differentiates us from what the vertically integrated medical existing companies are doing is they basically had to self-transport under the RMD regs. And under the adult use regs, it's similarly restrictive with the two people in the van, one at the home base and the manifests and everything. But the difference is that, sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
The ability to carry, I agree with you.
We can carry, that's what it is, multiple products within our van, but we have to separately manifest them, keep them separate. And one of the big appeals for using us to a small producer or cultivator is that we're taking the risk, right? Do they want to have that liability of having one of their vans in an accident on the highway as a commercial operator? We've seen, you know, not that we would wish that on ourselves, but we are basically...
But that's your core business. It's
right.
Your core business.
We're,
you have the
we
expertise
have insurance
and transport.
For it.
Right.
We're alleviating the operators from basically all of the logistical hassles of going to the lab and back and getting your testing, reporting it through the state metric system. We're going to have software that integrates with that in real time. And so it's really like a great solution.
Now, is it also a big relief to the customers that you've been talking to thus far? I know I'm just thinking back on an industry that, you know, completely unrelated, but diamond merchants, you know, they're at great risk because they're walking around with huge volumes and untraceable, you know, commodity,
right?
That has high value. I think it's very similar to that. You know, diamond merchants, one of their biggest fears is going from the office to their car.
Absolutely.
So imagine it's quite similar for your small businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's that element of customer service that's just so important in any element of a service provider, right? So we become the liaison for these companies as well at their point of delivery. And so we view ourselves as also helping to them to manage those relationships and, you know, making sure that customer service is core.
Now, there's a number of things that go into opening up this business. You have to find a location. You're located in Plymouth.
Correct.
You have to be insured.
Yeah.
How did you go through, one, first finding a location, a community? I mean, I was at the meeting, and the town loved you.
That's right. And I did think
because
you were at the meeting.
What's not
directly
to love?
It's business to business, right?
Sure. So we did have some unique advantages early on, which was that this license type isn't nearly as popular as folks seeking retail and cultivation licenses. And it's recognized by most communities, I think, that the impact to their community is likely to be less from a facility that's not open to the public. And not only that, in a grow facility, you have these, you know, huge amounts of assets at play, right? And in our setting, that's not so much the case. I was a selectman at one time, served as the chair of the Board of Selectmen, and I utilizing that skill set with the business experience that I built up was really critical in that phase.
You know what they're thinking.
Yeah, just approaching and sort of dealing with people that are, volunteers, and they're representing their communities. And so when I was identifying a place where I felt like we could get the early mover advantage that we successfully have now, also in proximity to where we live, we're from southeastern Massachusetts, so it felt like it makes, don't do something 4 hours away, do something in our backyard. And Plymouth at that time was particularly excellent, and they've been great to work with so far.
So with some of the restrictions on movement of cash and use of various instruments in the industry, are you strictly product transportation or dealing with the financial aspects as well?
So again, we want to be a full service fulfillment logistics provider, but we don't actually view our role as transporting the cash at this time. In a compact and small state like Massachusetts, we feel that we can certainly make it so that companies don't have to worry about it, and we can handle the outsourcing to the appropriate firm for that. But we, for a number of reasons, the way the regulations are built up, again, just the scale of the state and the banks that are going to be in it seems to make more sense to allow, again, professionals and cash transportation to focus on that.
And I think you're a unique business in the sense of, the hard part I have with this in the sense of OxyContin is delivered in one truck, one driver.
Indeed. I know. It's interesting, isn't it?
Marijuana, medical, and recreation, two drivers, a truck. And originally, before the Cannabis Control Commission really saw the ability of this industry, that you only could deliver from one location to the other, the lockbox had to be screwed into the truck. Now you have the ability to allow transportation companies. The question I have for you is that we had Chris Walsh on the radio show, who's the founder of MJ Biz.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he looked at was people getting into this business, is that look at ancillary businesses. It's not really worth getting into the marijuana business itself, but ancillary. As you're going through these thoughts, was it because you're already in the transportation business that you thought this was an easy move?
Oh, well, certainly, yeah. I think when you come at something with a background in it, you see the unique abilities, but of course the unique challenges, right? And being able to solve those challenges. So absolutely, that was where, when we saw the license categories, where the opportunities were, and then, of course, where the competition lay, we saw this seems like the place for us. There's so many. We see today hundreds of retailers in the queue. I think many of them are going to do well, and sadly, many of them are probably going to fail over time. It's the same with cultivation, and there's a huge amount of interest, but over time,
The
strong are going to survive, and certainly having lots of competition isn't necessarily going to help in a tight market like this and with the slow rollout that we are experiencing.
And the other thing, too, with the cash transport, we saw that need right away. But you don't. The funny thing is, like you said, you don't need a special license for that. Anyone can do it with an armored car. And they tend to really want to be armored for cash transport and have weapons. And the state regs make it so that anyone transporting cannabis can't have a gun. And it's really interesting. People's reactions to that. We've had it like all across the spectrum about that, of what people think, but we feel confident that through the randomized routes, the unmarked vans, that we're not going to be endangering people's products.
And what's interesting too is, there's nowhere for the cash to go. At least the product goes from point to point.
Right.
That's
a good
true.
Point.
Yeah, it's very true.
And you can grow it yourself. So
cash doesn't grow on trees.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
How about finding an insurance company? Sure.
Oh, I would say that's one area that hasn't really been a challenge. There's so many insurance companies that want your business in this space, it feels like. And so I would say that the insurance hasn't been a significant challenge.
Do you have to lease your vehicles or do you have to purchase them?
You have to control them. You need to be the owner of record. You can lease or purchase to accomplish that.
Are you buying or...
We're going to do a combination of both, just depending on what the timing is for scaling out the fleet.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the leasing companies, because it's still federally illegal, potential forfeiture.
Many will. There are many leasing companies that are willing to lease in this space, is what we found.
So really interesting. You're at the forefront on one aspect of the industry, but the evolution is such that there's opportunities all over the place.
Certainly, and I think we're like a lot of people. We would love to see the industry becoming more mature in Massachusetts quicker. We certainly respect the methodical pace and the reasons for it, but it's certainly this slow rollout is, I think, in a lot of ways, negatively affecting the industry at the very outset here. And that it would certainly be helpful if licensees, especially the small, the middle players that are all the ones that are kind of held in this queue right now, are able to get through it a little bit quicker.
What would you recommend to people looking to get into the ancillary business, whether it's transportation or something else, servicing the cannabis business?
Well, we're going to be a dominant player in transportation, so I wouldn't necessarily suggest you want to get into that. However, I think the ancillary areas are very interesting. You should look at your geographic advantages, what your, like any business, what is your unique reason that you're getting into it? What is your unique advantage, and not just do it because it's an opportunity that everybody knows there's opportunity. There's a ton of money. Right. We see the stats coming out, $140 million in sales, but that's not good enough, right? You need to also have a plan for your license, and what are you going to do with this license when you get it is even more important than just getting the license.
And I think, as you said, lever your assets that you do have, and you've got the experience in the industry, so you've played that with the growth potential.
And I think that's what really makes you different, in the sense of that you didn't get into this just because to make money. You actually have an incredible background in this field, so it's much easier for you to go to sell to customers saying, look, this is why we can provide you the service. We're not doing this just because we decide to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And in Raphael's existing business, he is located physically on the Cape, but he has drivers in Western Mass now that are remotely operated through his software. So, and you've
been doing that
for years. You can see, because that is one of the things people know, that a lot of the action in this business is happening in Worcester, Framingham corridor, Western Mass. And so, you're in Plymouth, but we're not concerned about that because we do have the ability to warehouse, and we're looking at a second location in the future if all goes well for us. And ancillary business, one thing that I think will take off in this state that we haven't seen anyone doing is pet edibles, dog biscuits and stuff. They've done, once the medical research really catches up for pediatric and animals, that's going to be like a craft maker could do just dog biscuits.
Who can't use a mellower dog, right?
Right.
CBD is used for dog treats, but the only stories you're hearing about dogs right now of getting into the
accidental.
Tends to be a negative.
There is medical use for pets as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. We wish you continued success in your path down into the industry, and congratulations on the licensure. And, really wonderful story. We'd love to have you back in the future and hear more about your experiences. And our guests on this version of In the Weeds have been Raphael Richter and Catherine Rossmore of Eagle Eyes Transport. Why don't you give our listeners an opportunity, if there is a retailer out there that needs your services, how do they reach you?
Well, the best method would be to head to our website, eagleeyestransport.com. Just submit a simple inquiry and one of us will get back to you very promptly. And thanks so much for having us, guys. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you being on the show.
Wonderful. And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.